Sports, wine, life. This is the Macko and Cos podcast.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Macko and Cos podcast. This is episode 51. There is so much to get to. There is news about the podcast. We're almost like we're professionals. But first, good morning. Good afternoon, Bob. How you doing?
Inching towards professionalism.
Getting closer.
Fumbling toward ecstasy.
That's right.
That's where we're at. Hey, since we're this is the 51st podcast, Why don't we call this the Jake Gardner edition?
Ooh, okay. Jake, yeah.
51's a pretty unconventional number. Do you know any other famous 51s?
No, I know like a 52, Pepper Johnson, former Giants linebacker.
We all know Pepper
Johnson. Yeah, exactly.
Peppy.
But no, I don't know 51. Jake Gardner, perfect.
So there's a lot to get to. We'll talk about the Leafs.
Yep.
And Nylander's goal in overtime and the Chicago matchup. I want to talk a little bit about Arsenal.
Okay.
They're a British football team.
I will let you.
Also known as soccer.
Soccer, Bob, or North America.
But so much to get to, Matt, including the fact that we are now sponsored.
We have sponsors. One we'll tell you about in a little bit. But the first one sort of actually weaves into how I spent my Tuesday.
Okay.
And as you know, Bob, and I don't know people who, if they listen all the time, they know, but I'm not arrogant enough to think anyone listens all the time. I have a fear of death. I've had it since I was 6 years old. I remember the moment when I woke up and realized that eventually you're going to die and all those sorts of things. And it made me sad. And I've always had it for better and for worse. So I went on Tuesday to meet up with a guy named Jeff Pollock.
So before we go on, sorry to stop you here,
but I just want
to contextualize this for people because while you laid it out there, I'm going to color it in a little bit.
Yeah, okay.
Matt is terrified of death.
Yes.
To the point where every single minute of every single day is dedicated towards squeezing every ounce of life out of the moment.
Yeah.
And it actually turns into like almost like a crazy OCD things at times, right? Like you get excited when you find out if you put your shoes at this angle in front of the door, you'll save 3 seconds on your way out in the morning, right?
Bob, if you open the fridge right now, you know what you would find?
No. I'm assuming food.
My veggie protein shake for tomorrow to take in the morning. I already got that done.
Right. Because you probably had 15 seconds where you weren't doing anything and you couldn't have 15 empty seconds because you're going
to
die.
Do you know when I did it, Bob?
When?
You texted me to say, I'm at the coffee shop. I'll be there in 5 minutes.
That's right.
Not only did I fill up my container, but then I washed the blender, and you can see it's sitting in the corner drying. So that's what I did during those minutes.
It's beautiful. Maddie, you've got a rage to live. You're like the Dylan Thomas of the sports world. rage against the dying of the protein shake.
Yeah. that was well done. And also, the good thing about it is that I rarely get angry or mad because life's too short. So there is positives. There's also the fear at night when I realize other people will, that I will. It's a crushing fear that does have positives as well.
Okay, so please continue with your story. I just wanted people to understand.
That was
it's
good.
Not like, because we're all afraid of death.
Nobody
likes it.
By the way, I hate those people that say, I'm not afraid of it. I want to punch them in the face. Or when they say, oh no, I'm afraid of spiders. Get the bleep out of here. Oh no, spiders or never existing again for eternity. I'll take some arachnids in that case. So this lawyer, Jeff Pollock, he contacted us a while ago. He'd listened to the old show, Macko and Cos, on TSN 1050 and was a big fan of the podcast and wanted to chat about maybe doing some sponsors. And he sponsors other things and thought, you know, maybe it could work.
You and I are like a T-ball team.
Yes.
He basically, we put his name on the back of our jersey.
Yes, that is a perfect way. Like my first T-ball team, it was the comeback. It was a used clothing store around Dundas and like Rathburn area.
Mine was Thermobond, which I didn't know at the time because it sounds cool, right? What's your team called? Thermobond. They were a garbage collection agency.
So you had a garbage collection. I had gently used clothing.
Oh, by the way, this is actually a good one. Sorry to keep sidebarring here.
Fine.
But tweet us. MCOS56 or at Bob Mackowitz. Who sponsored one of your first teams?
Yeah.
Tell us about the company that sponsored, you know, hockey, baseball, soccer, whatever it was.
I don't remember who the second or third sponsor, but I always remember the first sponsor. The comeback, or just comeback is what it was.
All right, so you're hanging out with Jeff, facing your own imminent demise.
Yeah, and he said, you know, we'll deal with you, with me, and you with Wills, which can be expensive. So I was like, that is very nice. And so here's the best thing I can say about him. It was really casual. He's really thorough. And I only had a couple moments where I almost started breaking down into tears. And I only had a couple moments where it was pure 100% fear crept over me. And I mean that as a compliment, because dealing with your will is an acknowledgement. And for me, it's hard to acknowledge. It's why I don't wear proper winter clothing in winter, because I don't want to acknowledge the weather's cold. So take that, but multiply it by a kabillion, and that's me dealing with a will and testament.
You refuse to say you've ever been sick.
Yes.
Because that would be admitting that you could get sick, and if one could get sick, one could die. Right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I've actually seen you literally pass out from fever.
Yep.
But you maintain, Nope.
Just a flesh wound. I'm going to jack attack this. So I'm going to use my mind
crush it.
Yeah, the 30 Rock reference. So they've come a sponsor. I can just say a really good guy, deals with a wide variety litigation, wills. This is the worst read. This is the read.
Well, let's start again.
Hey, if you need help with wills and testaments, litigation, corporate, commercial, real estate law, Jeff is fantastic. And also, it's not a corporate cutter sort of law firm. Like, it is very family. Like, it's all family that works there. And it's people that have been there forever. So you don't feel like you're in this sterile sort of building. It's this nice office where it's like, oh, yeah, they've been there forever. This person's been there forever. The number, 416-777-0088. The website's easy. Jeff Pollock, Jeff with a G, two Fs, Pollock with two Ls, .com. JeffPollock.com. 777-0088. And the best thing, again, I can say is it made it really comfortable and easy for me. We talked about who was going to get my wine.
Is getting your wine?
I'm going to split it between my brother, Scott, and Amy. So I'm going to split it between them because I don't really have a lot of items. Like, you know, I'd probably just liquidate most of my stuff. Again, I don't want to be talking about this. I talked about it then, but it was nice. Like, a really nice personal touch. So it went really well for me. It should have been a bigger disaster. So,
my wife and I don't agree on where everything goes, so I'll tell the story about how our will went later on, whenever we wind up doing it.
Okay. Oh, yeah. And Sandra can come.
You might get it all, Matt. We may just have to pick a neutral third party.
It's about time things went my way.
Finally.
Finally.
Finally, the world smiled on Matt.
We're also going to do top five athletes you feel sorry for in honor of Kevin Love. We got a couple listener questions that we'll get to. But Bob,
Tons to do.
Where do you want to go first in the world of sports?
I kind of want to start with Arsenal, and I want to start. We don't talk soccer very much.
Nope.
You don't really care about it.
Yeah.
And I'm new to it.
Yeah.
But this week, if you're an Arsenal fan, if you follow English soccer at all, there was this ongoing drama all season long with their best player, Alexis Sanchez. He didn't really want to be part of the team anymore. His contract was coming up at the end of the season. This is a story if you're a sports fan, even if you're not a soccer fan. We've seen this 1,000 times before.
Yeah.
But what's really neat about soccer is other teams can just buy the guy.
I know.
It's a transfer window. There's another one coming up in March. I don't know a ton about this, but I watched the drama as he got sold to Manchester United. Mm-hmm. And it was a swap, actually. So £30 million and another guy named... And I should actually... Give me your... I'm going to write this down because you're going to...
All right. What do you need there, Bob? Do you need to type something?
I'm going to write down this guy's name because his first name is Henrik.
Yeah. Imagine North America. It's like they sold this guy to another team. If that happened with Draymond Green, I feel there'd be a lot of slavery imagery thrown around in the media.
That's actually an excellent point. So Henrik, and here's his last name.
No, it's not.
It is. It is.
Mkhitaryan.
Mkhitaryan.
Okay.
But you actually did okay.
Yeah.
Like, you did badly, but I thought you would do worse.
Who has a name with the letter M and the letter K?
M-K-H, Mkhitaryan.
Get a vowel. Jesus. Say Jesus. Second letter, E. Second letter, vowel. Good enough for JC, it's good enough for you.
The reason I wanted to talk about this is One of the reasons why soccer is the international fascination, it's not just that it's a game that people can play even though they don't have a ton of dough. It's not just the history of it. But the way that the leagues have grown, they're 12-month leagues, and man, there's a lot of drama. There is so much drama. Great players move around all the time. And it made me think about this upcoming NHL trade deadline. We're not going to see anybody move.
Nope.
You know, we start getting excited about, like, you know, like Ryan McDonagh could be moved. Oh, you mean the guy who's not good enough to play for the team he's currently on? There's a reason why they make them available. No one says, hey, this guy's really good.
Yeah.
Let's dump him.
Well, Evander Kane's kind of interesting because he's young with talent. But, Bob, 80% of all the guys moved are going to be, You know, and then we'll just feel sorry for James Duffy tap dancing for 18 hours.
I don't know if a league has to, when it's going into its CBA, consider the entertainment value of players moving. But don't you kind of a little?
Oh, Bob, I have said this over and over. The NHLPA needs to tell their players, stop being loyal. Do you want to grow the game? Do you want to make the game more relevant in the offseason? Then Tavares and Carlson, you're going to say, I'm going to explore all my opportunities. And at the end of the day, sign with a different team, not for 8 years, but three.
So when it comes to football, when it comes to soccer, I'll just say this. Like, you know, I don't really get the game, but I'm increasingly fascinated by it. Like, I do enjoy it. So is Arsene Wenger a good coach? I don't know. Is Alexis Sanchez going to make a difference to Manchester United?
Maybe at the midfield?
Yeah. He plays the 10.
Yeah.
Plays the 10 spot.
The 10 spot.
And that's exactly, but Mesut Ozil apparently is in the 10 spot for Arsenal. So look, there's a million things.
That's going to be a lot of controversy in the locker room.
You got that right. Well, and
chemistry issues.
Oh, but I will say though, and then we talked a bit about this last week with when the star player goes and nobody cries, you know that guy was hated.
Yeah.
And I feel like this, you know, they've made a couple moves, Arsenal has, but nobody was really crying that loud over the, and he is the best player.
Yeah.
One of the best players in the world. But what it really made me think of is, we crave stability as sports fans, but maybe wrongly. Like, chaos is so much more interesting than stability.
Yes. Oh, absolutely it is. I think in the end, and the boring answer is, we want sort of, we it's a great spice. Like, chaos all the time. I do like stability to an extent, but you need to have a couple of those stories. Which is the Goldilocks. You want the porridge to be just right. But yes, some chaos makes off seasons interesting.
So that was it. That was my takeaway. Because internationally, like, that was a huge story this week in the world of international sports. Not so much here in Canada, because we don't really obsess over that, that kind of thing. But just made me think about how our own homegrown hockey just, man, it's so Canadian in nature.
Yep.
It's all about sustaining and stability, good governance. So that's it.
Yep.
Do you want to get to the Leafs?
Yeah, let's get to the Leafs.
Speaking of hockey,
speaking negatively,
as we often do.
Hey, I got to tell you right now, my sports horny, wow, was it tingling the other day.
Because of the lines?
Because of the lines. Yeah. Oh, and when Kristen Shilton sent that, like, that tweet out with the practice lines, it was sad how just much I stared at them. Like a cat, at a bowl, with a fish bowl, you know, with some goldfish in there. That was me. Just like, because for the first time, it seemed to make sense.
Do you know why, Maddie? Because you got the Red Ryder BB gun.
Yeah.
You'd been asking for this for so long.
Yes.
Can we just demote Komarov?
Yes.
Can we just get some help for Kadri?
Yes.
Can we not put Marner on the fourth line? Just like in A Christmas Story, where he says over and over again, I want the Red Ryder BB gun. And everyone says, you'll shoot your eye out.
Yep.
Babcock had been telling you, you can't have Komarov play the fourth line. You'll shoot your eye out.
Yeah.
But then they did it, Matt.
They did.
Christmas morning, and you unwrapped the gift you really wanted.
And exactly. And though Marner's goal wasn't the prettiest, it was deflection off Jake Gardner's long shot, Kadri scored. Been ages since then. Marner scored, but they combined for 13 shots. So, you know, they were more engaged. The first line, fine. Leave it alone. Connor Brown deserved to be with more offensive players. There's Bozak and JVR. And the fourth line actually seemed to be one that makes sense. Leo Komarov, great fourth line player. Kasperi Kapanen played over 10 minutes a night against Washington in the playoffs. And Dominic Moore.
And to your point there, where was Matt Martin last night?
He was hanging out in the Brian Berard press box. Remember back in the day?
Totally.
With the unfortunate eye injury. And there he was from
the Corbinian holzer seat.
The Corbinian holzer seats, exactly.
So there were so many things, and it didn't turn out well to start.
No.
they got overwhelmed right out of the gate, and you thought, oh no, this is going to tell him it was a bad idea.
Yeah.
But they pulled it back together and had a really bizarre ending to the game in some ways. But let's stay on the lines for just a second.
Yep.
So Travis Dermott, Connor Carrick playing together. Mm-hmm. That feels promising.
Dermott looked good. He picked up Andrew Sharp like he was going to helicopter him for a WWE finishing move.
They need to keep him up. They just need to keep him up. He's a smart young player. And the thing that I fear is that inevitably he's going to start to make mistakes.
Yes.
And some of them are going to be glaring. And I just hope that Babcock doesn't say, oh, there's proof that he needs to go back down and gets more seasoned. When Andreas Borgman can make mistakes and play poorly all the time and really should be down in the AHL collecting minutes. But for some reason, I don't know, Babcock's just weird that way.
It's the ultimate debate. Is 23 minutes with the Marlies better than 11 minutes with the Maple Leafs? I don't have the answer, but I imagine that's the question they're always asking themselves.
You have to ask yourself, what do you need? Do you have the skill set and the knowledge and you just need to get used to the speed? Because I think that that's Travis Dermott's situation. Mm-hmm. I don't know that for him or a Connor Carrick necessarily. More time in the AHL is going to do much for them. They just need to get used to how it's played in the NHL. If it's about skill development and it's about getting reps and really starting to drill down on pattern recognition, then you need time in the AHL, and maybe Borgman's closer to that.
Yeah, that makes sense.
He's big, though, and you know that deep down, Babcock is old-fashioned, and he just can't help it. He sees somebody over 6'4", and it's like, oh, but I want you to be good so badly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's the reason why, you know, Gauthier's gotten more run than he probably deserves.
It's funny. He talked about how the young guys struggled. Didn't mention Polak.
Nope.
Is Polak now a young guy?
No. Polak, though, Roman Polak is the oldest 31-year-old in sports.
Like, he's got the Greg Oden thing.
He's white Greg Oden. Just like you see him and like someone's like, oh, he's 31. I'm like, no, he's not. He's 47.
You know what he looks like? Mm-hmm. He looks like when you watch a Western, there's the grizzled old veteran who takes the young gunslinger under his wing. Mm-hmm. Shows him the ropes on how to live and how to handle his peace and his how to handle the land.
Yeah.
He's like the Sam Elliott character in Roadhouse.
Yeah.
He's just that he's that guy.
Yeah.
The teacher. The
he's grizzled.
Yeah.
He's the in most fact, grizzled maybe that's 31-year-old.
Grizzled is a very specific word. It doesn't really apply to many.
No.
It applies to him.
Yeah. It 100% applies to him. Nylander, weird, just... You know, it was, you know what Nylander was, that the overtime winner when no one was, seemed like they were in position for the Blackhawks? It's like when a wideout, the defense forgets to put a corner, and the wideout is like waving their arm frantically to the quarterback, like, throw me the ball. Okay, I know I lie all the time. I say I'm open, but I'm not. I swear to you, look 5 yards in front of me. No one is there.
That conversation always goes well back in the huddle afterwards too, right?
Yeah.
When the guy doesn't get the ball, it's always like, don't worry about it.
Don't worry, I'll get you next time.
I was open. I'm not even looking at my stats.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And since it's the Jake Gardner edition of the pod, number 51, Gardner's been playing really well too.
Yep.
You know what's so weird about Gardner? Is he's the guy at the end of the season you have to ask... Like, you just have to be disciplined and patient with him because he's going to go through these periods where you go, God, can this guy play defense? Does he not learn anything?
Yeah.
You know, even Babcock sometimes is like, yeah, he's a good player, but sometimes I have no idea what he's doing out there.
Yeah.
And that's just the truth with this guy. It's almost like, you know how if you kept touching the hot stove element, eventually you would say, I shouldn't touch the hot stove element. It's like there's a part of his brain that just refuses to acknowledge, maybe if I don't do what Donnie Don't does, I won't make the same mistakes over and over again.
Yeah.
And yet, he's like a savant. Mm-hmm. Like, when he's on his game, he plays great.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 100%.
Best defenseman on the Leafs when he's on his game over the last 2 years.
Ooh.
Riley has crept up
and Riley's
is becoming much more consistent.
Yeah.
Certainly last year he was their best defenseman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, Jake Gardner was. So that's why, I mean, that's the reason for optimism. If you get the version of Jake where he's not touching the stove element with his pupil, and then
he goes to answer the phone by pressing his ear against the element.
Yeah, exactly. And you get Morgan Riley back, and Zaitsev is back, and Dermott grows as a player. Again, it's not elite, but it's not as concerning for you with the Leafs' defense.
Nah, I don't know. I mean, in the end, they still got mostly outplayed by Chicago last night. And anytime you get to the extra periods in hockey, I know you get the 2 points as though it were in regulation.
Yeah.
But they're still struggling in regulation.
They are. So many games are going to overtime.
I know what you're saying, though. Zaitsev isn't there. I'm more excited. Maybe this is just me being sucked in by the analytics community, but I'm more excited about the growth of Dermott than I am about the potential return of Zaitsev.
Yeah. By the way, do you find the more you get sucked in the analytics community, the more you're critical of the head coach?
Yes.
Yeah.
Unquestionably.
It really is. Screw you, James Mertl. But also for me, that's also just my aesthetic, and Babcock robs me of fun. But we've discussed that, so we don't need to go over that chestnut again.
Can we talk a bit about the winning goal?
Yeah.
So Nylander pulled down to begin the overtime period and winds up with a penalty shot, and it's incredibly exciting. Why is the penalty shot so incredibly exciting when in just about 4 minutes' time, there's going to be a whole bunch of them lined up? Why is the penalty shot in the world of the shootout still so incredibly exciting?
Because there's just one versus like, okay, now it's your turn. And everyone's got three. The stakes, because it's just a one-off.
Now, certainly that's in this exciting. Case, it was for the game.
Yeah.
But that's a bit different. But no, even if it was in the second period, you still go, ooh, penalty shot.
Because it's a one-off. Because it's going to be quick. It's not going to be this protracted. And also what we don't like about the shootout is the shootout means it's the end of three-on-three. So it's symbolizing, oh, the fun's over. All right, now let's do the skills contest to see who gets the point, the extra point. Versus in the middle of it, it's like this fun little treat. And it doesn't happen as much. So I think that's my theory.
Hockey doesn't need more stats and more columns, I don't think. There's plenty of columns as it is.
There is.
But don't you feel like goals scored in overtime or should be counted differently?
Mm-hmm.
Like we talk all the time about scoring in regulation versus scoring on the power play. But if you're scoring a 3-on-3, doesn't it feel like that deserves its own column? And maybe it should be like 0.8 of a point.
May I try an impersonation I've just thought of right now?
Okay.
Yeah, that's a great idea there, baby. No, wait, no, hold on. Let me do it again. Wait. Now, see if you can figure out. Hey, Bobby, that's a great idea. Having another column. The NHL standings, it feels like I'm at the Roman Parthenon. I was trying to do Dennis Miller. I haven't seen that many columns since I was at the Greek Parthenon.
It's blending into kind of a Woody Allen.
It really is.
And I think you can't help because you have three or four impersonations.
Yeah, that was getting there.
To somebody who horrible. Isn't like inherently great at doing voices, like you're funny as hell, but you're not like a voices guy.
No, I am not.
Right. So we all have our two or three accents that we do.
Yeah.
Like somebody who does French, like every nationality in the world winds up sounding French.
Yeah.
So that was your Woody Allen as Dennis Miller.
I was trying to do Dennis Miller because I saw we need more columns. All right.
Henrik onwards and upwards. Mkhitaryan.
If I was smarter, I would figure a way to edit that out, but it won't be. It'll be right there for all the listeners.
I'll leave it in. It's live.
Yeah.
It's exactly. live to tape, baby.
Yeah, exactly. I hope the lines, I haven't seen them yet. Here's my hope. Just like I got a new car, which is confusing me, Mike Babcock, just run with these lines for a little bit. I mean, we all acknowledge your 11, 12, whatever points is up on for a playoff spot. Give this group a little test drive. See how it feels. Don't do two games, but then when you're at home, you change it. If you say you need more offense on the road, maybe you need more offense at home. And they did put about 35, 37 shots, and it did feel like a more dangerous offensive attack, even though they still only got two goals in regulation.
What teaches young guys more? Watching veterans play the right way, albeit slower and perhaps devalued, or going out there and making mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
If this is about the process, and it doesn't really matter this year what happens, I know at the beginning of the year we all got excited by the blue wave, and this team can contend now.
Bring back the blue wave.
Sure.
It feels like it.
And I guess when you get to the playoffs, anybody can excel. There is that aspect to it. But if we honor the process, we say, okay, we're still really looking towards next year and the year after. What is better for these young guys? To go up there, make mistakes, cost points, and take their lumps, or to grind their way through the right way, quote unquote, and earn your stripes?
As long as the young players can handle the physical and mental rigmarole of an NHL regular season. Because you know there's some players where they get shell-shocked and it can actually hurt their development. As long, and I don't think that would happen because Babcock, as much as we can be critical, he's very aware of that. As long as you avoid those landmines as much as possible, you can't do it 100%, then you play the young guys because you learn more by doing than you do from seeing.
You know what this makes me think, Maddie, just as you're talking? It makes me think about the value of a good veteran and how important that is. And I use the Edmonton Oilers as an example. They had a bunch of young talent that came in and were basically gifted spots on the top couple lines.
Yeah.
And they never really had to earn them.
Yep.
And they never really learned. They never suffered the consequences of not playing well. It was like they were told right out of the gate, you're the best players and we're just going to play you the most. And I think that probably held back their development in a lot of cases. Now, having bad veterans ahead of you doesn't do you or the team any...
I was about to say, this feels like the reason why Komarov is playing more than the young guys.
100%.
Because of what you're saying.
But last year, it felt like that was a good decision.
Yeah.
Because he was an older guy. And, you know, you hear from the young guys all the time, I'm shocked how so-and-so takes care of their body.
Yeah.
Or I'm amazed by the discipline this guy brings every game. Because these guys are fighting for jobs.
Yeah.
Like, they're not stars anymore.
Yep.
And this isn't the old NHL where you can just coast to 35 because you've already been in the league. The young guys are snapping at your heels. So they've got to do it the right way or they're out. Even Connor Carrick, honest to God, he's 23 years old and they're talking about him, you know, fighting for that job.
Yeah.
You know, like, as though he only had a couple chances left.
You always want that stick. And that carrot. It is important for young player development to know that there is always consequences of your actions versus treating the young star like their dad is a billionaire, so they can, you know, do whatever they want because they'll always have a get out of jail free card.
Sometimes here in Toronto, North Toronto, Northern, well, not so much Northern, but Lawrence Park, like these are the public schools that are in the rich area of town.
Yep.
And I remember when we would deal with them, and they seemed so much more self-assured. But their parents were rich.
Yeah.
And I always thought, man, it must be hard to be a teacher in a class full of people that basically look at themselves as part of a legacy.
Like, yeah.
I'm only here to amuse you, buddy. Like, you, what are you going to do for me, French teacher? My dad owns, you know,
yeah,
30 Walmarts.
Conjugate this verb and noun. I got lots of money. Like, here, how about this? News along, I got 12 mil in the bank. So I don't know what you're going to teach me. You seva mal, me seva très bien.
So this is the part of me that, even though the numbers say what Babcock's doing is wrong, this is the part of me that can't throw him under the bus entirely.
Yep.
Because maybe it is right to instill in these young guys' minds that there are consequences to not playing well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And not just gifting them, you know, spots because we know they're the most talented.
What you're saying makes sense. And that is the ultimate give and take that I think a lot of us are having processing the last couple months of the Maple Leafs, where you can't, where it goes back to the Daniel Sahn paint the fence.
Right.
You know, Miyagi didn't do it so he could get a fresh coat. You know, he did it so that 6 months down the road, Daniel Sahn would be able to punch the living bleep out of Cobra Kai.
He won't insult Roman Pollock. He'll easily throw other guys under the bus. Babcock will.
Yeah.
But it's almost like he's telling the young guys, when you have done it as hard and as properly and as professionally as Roman Pollock has for this long, then you'll be in a position to not be ripped for your mistakes.
Yep. No, it's a great point, Bob.
And maybe it's BS. I honestly don't know. That's why I asked you, like, what's better for a young player? To go out and take your lumps or to watch somebody else do it in the right way?
Yeah.
But worse than you would do it.
Yep. No, 100%.
Yeah. What do you want to get to here, pal?
You want to do top five?
Yeah, let's do it.
Top five. This is in honor of Kevin Love, who the Cavs are imploding. So, of course, where do the players put all their ire on Kevin Love? And if you want to see, like, just sad Kevin Love, there's a great meme out there where Love thinks he's done something great. And LeBron is there. So he's like, hey, LeBron, look. I did good for you, Daddy. And then he puts his hand out thinking, I'll get a high five. The equivalent of, hey, Dad, you want to play catch? And what does LeBron do? Scowls and yells at him. And his arm, Kevin Love's arm slowly goes down. And he's like Charlie Brown just wandering. Or like Eeyore. And you feel so bad for him because he thinks he's doing good. And according to LeBron, he's doing bad.
The whole team hates him.
Hates him.
It's not just professional. It's clearly personal.
Yeah.
He's not a great defender by any stretch. He's having a good year, though. I mean, he is on the All-Star team.
Mm-hmm.
He hits threes. He's big. He can pass. He would be an asset to any team. But the problem is, in an imploding situation, He is the easiest. He's door number one
yeah.
for who are we going to blame for this?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, Dan Gilbert is now talking about he wants to sell the Cavs.
Yeah.
LeBron has been holding the team hostage for the better part of 2 years. They got rid of Kyrie with 2 years left on his deal
yeah.
because he asked.
Mm-hmm.
Are you kidding me? They've brought in a bunch of guys who play the same position, none of them particularly well. Tristan Thompson went out and married a Kardashian.
Yeah.
All of a sudden now he's showing up now he's got fashion. He wasn't one of those fashion guys before. Now he's got fashion. Did you meet him back in the day?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Good guy, right?
Good guy. Now, yeah, he's got a Kardashian fashion and he can't rebound. He's getting
Kardashian fashion.
$16 to $18 million.
Right. Woo. So that's a lot of problems.
That's a lot of problems.
Kevin Love is just one of them.
Just one of them. So, yeah, I just put together quickly, whipped up a top five athletes you feel sorry for. Number five, not an athlete, but I wanted to throw him on here. Sam Hinkie. Because when the 76ers finally get good, guess who's not going to be in the locker room with champagne? It's going to be Sam Hinkie, former general manager. And he's the one who did all the dirty work so that everyone could enjoy the good stuff.
Do you know who's the ultimate symbol of that for me?
Who?
Bo Porter. He was the guy hired by the Astros in their 100-loss season. He was the manager
yeah.
that had to stink through all that. And the second they started getting pretty good, he got canned.
Yeah, bye-bye,
he got bounced. I still believe he deserves a ring.
Yep.
Just because of the pain he suffered.
Number four, every female tennis player in their prime living in the age of Serena Williams. Because
mm-hmm.
it doesn't matter.
Simona Halep?
Yeah, just whoever it is. Here's the thing. I don't even remember the names because there was people probably 7 years ago that was young, up-and-coming tennis player. And then Serena went El Kabong, hit her with the guitar, and then move on.
It's true. It's like back in the old days of wrestling of the 80s when they would have the main card guy.
Yeah.
And they would just trot out a bunch of cannon fodder to lose to them.
Yeah, just
the
jobbers.
Didn't matter who you were, just the jobbers in and out, in and out.
I mean, Serena won her last major when she was pregnant. You know, again, she was pregnant.
She's pretty good.
Didn't matter. Number three, Barry Bonds. And I'll tell you why.
Ooh.
When he was 43 in his last year, he led baseball in walks and OBP. You put his numbers when he was 43, he would lead in a lot of those categories today. And while this whole year, rightfully so, we've discussed Colin Kaepernick getting blackballed by five or six NFL teams that could have used a backup quarterback. If I'm Barry Bonds, I'm like, oh, Colin, yeah, you think you're getting blackballed? Hold my beer. Here's what I did at 43, and no one wanted me the next year. And I still wanted to play baseball. And by the way, Bob, to make it worse, you know who's one of the most beloved players in baseball who just got a job at ESPN? A-Rod! Everyone loves A-Rod now because he's a great broadcaster. And we're like, hey, this A-Rod guy, this guy's great as a broadcaster. Meanwhile, Barry Bonds. No one got blackballed like Barry Bonds.
Whenever I hear the conservative movement talk about how full of BS the liberal movement is because they just play their favorites.
Yeah.
They talk all the time about their standards, but in the end, it's standards applied to just whatever, you know, is convenient for you.
Yeah.
This is one of those times where I think that kind of criticism is applicable.
Mm-hmm.
It's applicable.
Yeah.
Like, it's a great analogy because Barry Bonds was a jerk.
Yes.
A jerk to the media, a jerk to his teammates, a jerk to humans.
Yep.
Just a really despicable character in a lot of ways.
Yep.
We get into fights with Jeff Kent on the bench. Just tough to deal with.
Yeah.
And so he got his comeuppance in a lot of people's minds. And then A-Rod was exactly the same thing. He was the villain. But somehow we decided we liked him. And I think you're right. It's just because he's good on TV.
He's good on TV.
Barry Bonds was never good on TV.
Yeah, yeah. He gets on TV. He marries J-Lo. And like, A-Rod, love that guy. Hey, A-Rod, come on, sit down. Sit down. You want a beer? You want a beer? A-Rod, let's get him a beer.
Orange whip? Orange whip?
Yeah, orange
whip. Three orange whips.
Yeah. And well, Barry Bonds is like, guys, gather around. No, sorry, Barry, there's no room at the table.
See, that's the problem is Barry Bonds never says, come on, guys, gather around. He's happy to sit there and say, you know, I'm the best hitter of all time, right?
Yeah, yeah. And Barry's like, I don't want to sit at your table. I'm going to go there because I forced them to give me an extra leather chair.
You know why I'm not going to sit at your table? Because it's stupid.
Yeah, exactly.
That is one of the best press conference moments, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm not going to answer your question. Because it's stupid.
Imagine Barry Bonds in Twitter age.
Oh, it'd be so good.
Oh, my God. That'd be good. The steroid memes would be fantastic. Number two, Connor McDavid. They lose the other day 5-0 to the Sabres. And you're like, well, Connor, only 7 more years on your contract. They are ruining him. And they're like, what do the Oilers need? They need some speedy wingers.
Lucic apparently in practice the other day is down on the fourth line. Really? Who saw that coming?
Oh, boy, Connor, you are stuck. But number one, and the reason is, it's not just because he's stuck on a bad team, and it's not just because he's really good and we don't think about him. He had a really cool record that got broke this year, and it's the only thing he had. Speaking of Joe Thomas, the left tackle for the Cleveland Browns, Cleveland's gone 1-31 in his last 32 games. He's blocked for like 20 different starting quarterbacks since 2007. And he only had one thing. He had played in 10,363 consecutive plays. Do you know how hard that is for an offensive lineman not to have a running back roll up against your ankle so you miss a couple of plays just as you get it worked out? And that record got snapped this year, the year they went 0-16. Poor Joe Thomas.
That's a really good one. I really like that one. There's a couple I'm going to throw in here.
Yeah.
And they're situational. I think that one's really good. In the same kind of spirit, I'm going to say Tracy McGrady, who was one of the best scoring players of his generation, but only ever played in one playoff round.
Yep.
He found himself in Toronto, drafted 9th out of high school. Your coach is Daryl Walker.
Yeah.
Who's telling the world, I don't even know if this kid's going to be in the league in a few years. By the way, ironically, Daryl Walker, no longer in the league.
No longer
after
in the
a
league.
Few years.
Yeah.
Then he winds up in a great situation with Vince. They feel like this could be the beginning of something special.
Yep.
But he gets bad advice. And he's a kid. People, you got to be the man, Tracy. You got to move on. Winds up destroying, to much of our heartbreak, what could have been an incredible pairing. And then just kicks around the league and does nothing but play great. And yet somehow becomes the poster child in the NBA for great guy, bad teams.
Yeah. And I'll never forget. I think he was with Orlando or maybe Houston. I forget. And he was up 3-1. And he was saying, it's going to be great to finally feel what it likes to get into the second round. And then his team lost 3 straight in the playoffs, which is hard to do in the NBA.
And Houston should have been much better with him there. Mm-hmm. Yao Ming was there anyway. So Buddy Hield, I feel bad for.
Okay.
Because you're the guy who gets traded from New Orleans to Sacramento for DeMarcus Cousins because the owner says, you're the next Steph Curry.
Ooh.
And you know what he's not?
Steph Curry.
That.
Yeah.
So your name.
Del Curry.
He would have been a perfectly fine role player in the NBA. Drafted, I think, 6th overall. He's a shooter. He would have been fine.
Yeah.
Would have had a career. But now he's always going to be the guy who is misrecognized as good.
Yeah, that's true.
It's not his fault.
It's not his fault. That is a tough one. That's a trope. That's a sports trope. This guy is going to be great. And he's like, hey, wait, I didn't say it would be great. Mel Kiper, whoever, just, leave me alone.
In that spirit, Sam Bowie.
Yep. Not his fault.
And there's a whole list of guys who are the guy that stinks before the good guy was drafted.
Yeah.
It's not their fault. They were just chosen.
It's our fault. We love doing this in the media. I love doing this. I love looking at former drafts and going to all the teams. Why'd you take that guy? That guy stinks.
Andrea Bargnani, who goes next? LaMarcus Aldridge.
Yeah.
Bust. Oh, no. Was it that year?
Yeah.
Was it that year?
Who went second? Roy. No. Because Bargnani went one. And by the way, it was not a great draft, but Brandon Roy and LaMarcus Aldridge were in that draft.
That's right. Every year we have that.
Yeah.
I feel so bad for those. And finally, Larry Murphy, who did go on to have a Hall of Fame career. Incredible. But there's that one player. That's a bit of the Kevin Love situation where the situation is so bad, you just need to blame someone.
Yeah. And you're going to blame.
And you're a good player.
Yep.
In just the worst situation possible.
Yeah.
And then he winds up going to Detroit and winning cups, as we all know. But yeah, I love that topic about feeling. It's weird, eh? So much of an athlete's career, this is why legacy and championships and all that and determining great careers, I think, is a bit BS. It's just luck.
Yeah.
How many times does a rookie wind up on a team and the coach doesn't like that guy and it's decided by the league all of a sudden, well, you can't play?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, 100%. And, it's always the classic argument. How many Super Bowls would Aaron Rodgers have if he was in New England? Versus he's only gone to one Super Bowl in his career.
This is why I don't necessarily blame young athletes for wanting to take more control over their destinies.
Yep.
Because it's a limited window and judgments are made all the time.
Yes.
Sometimes correctly. Sometimes falsely, though.
Yes, 100%. Yeah, absolutely.
And usage matters so much.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe less in hockey, but you could think about how in football, a guy could get a rap for not being a good player, and he was just used wrong the whole time.
Mm-hmm. 100%. Oh, yeah, of course. And by the way, for this list, I'm not... None of these are the tragic ones. There's no Len Bias on this list for
right.
a reason.
Well, so. I think we decided after the Will story to start off the show.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe we could just move off the death topic a little bit.
By the way, speaking of Wills and of sponsors, again, just another quick shout out because I gave a horrible live read. JeffPollock.com, 416-777-0088. Just a really nice dude if you need for all your lawyer and lawyerly needs. But Bob, we've got a discount code.
We do.
We do, yes. It's Bob and Matt. And what is it for? Oh, I'm glad you asked. It's for Seat Giant. We have partnered up. It's our new Canadian partner on this show. Concert tickets, sporting tickets, everything and anything in North America. All you got to do is go to seatgiant.ca. But here's the big thing. All the tickets, and my girlfriend Amy's getting ready, and she'll love this. All the tickets are in Canadian dollars. There's been, yes, and her arms are outstretched. How many times have, like, when we've tried to get tickets for concerts or for sporting events for like our nieces and nephews, and we're like, hey, the ticket's only $58. Oh, wait, that's in US dollars. And then there's this and this expense. And by the end, you spend so much more than what you normally expected. Well, Seat Giant, A, 100% Canadian, based here in Canada, and B, it's so much easy and simple. No exchange fees, bank fees, or anything else. And if you go there and use the code Bob and Matt. So please do that. You will save money. Just click the add button and use the discount code Bob and Matt. And then we get a tiny cut. You save money. It's win-win for everyone.
How much do they save?
Not sure.
I got you didn't read this through, did you?
No, I didn't.
Well, Seatgiant.ca.
Pretty good read on the fly, though.
Thank you.
Seatgiant.ca.
Yeah, because that's not an important piece of information to share, how much money someone would save by doing what you're asking them to do.
Well, you just type in Bob and Matt at checkout to save money, click the add button, then the review order button, and your discount code will show up before confirming your order.
Did they tell us how much they would save?
It doesn't say.
Is it in the copy? No.
It doesn't say.
Maybe we should contact them and say.
Yeah, I'll find out.
But if you use it, you win because the listener, you guys will save an additional whatever percentage is on your ticket. So it's like free money for you. A tiny cut comes our way to help the podcast grow because, you know, a lot of stuff we use here, we got to pay for to get the podcast uploaded. So, you know, it costs us to do it. So, yes, that is our other sponsor, Seat Giant.
Did we go a little too conventional with choosing our discount code? We went Bob and Matt.
Well, because like,
but we could have done something interesting, like, you know, Shazbot, or use your like old computer thing, P Sims 12.
No, but people are going to remember that. How hard is it? Bob and Matt is easy. The
it
idea
is easy.
Behind this Bob is
why didn't we go Macko and Cos then?
Because Cos, how do you spell that? And Macko, is that a K? Is that a C? But Bob and Matt is about as easy as it gets.
Pretty good.
I did that one for user friendliness. I was also thinking of Makowitz. But then I realized that YCZ at the end, ooh, that is a nightmare.
Yeah, fair enough. Bob and Matt. Although, secretly in my heart, I kind of wish we would have went with P Sims 12.
P Sims 12, which was an old passwords.
Many passwords back
many passwords ago. And by the way, it was P Sims 11. Phil Sims was number 11.
Oh, is that right?
Now, 6 months later, I'd have to do P Sims 12 and then 13. Because stupid Bell, you always got to change your password all the time.
I hate that.
Oh.
Although, in fairness, they did just get hacked the other day, and apparently, you know, 100,000 people were affected. So,
fair point. I just always feel like, as big as my ego is, my thing is, why would anyone hack me? I'm not hackable.
Ordinarily, I tend to think on principle about this.
Yeah.
But I agree with you there. It's if someone hacked me, like, what are they going to find?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
My boring emails with George, where we talk about how great our movies are going to be.
That is a really good point. Do we want to go to listener questions? Do we want to get in? Like, I have thoughts on, and we're not going to get to everything, on Tiger and gambling and Raptors and all this sorts of stuff. So is there another sports thing you want to get into?
Before I kind of want to do listener questions. We haven't done it for a while, and I'm excited people reached out to us. So yeah. Let's reward that by not tucking it in at the 57-minute mark.
That is true. Oh, and we're at about 43 in. Chelsea Darlington, any restaurant horror stories in terms of atrocious service, something in the food, etc. Do you have, Bob, a horrible story involving restaurants?
I was at an Italian buffet with my wife and her family early on when we were first dating. So I didn't really know much. The funny thing about Italian cuisine is you never feel like you have to question it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we grew up with pizza and spaghetti and meatballs. And you think, oh, okay, Italian food. It's not that exotic.
Yeah.
So your sensors for walking into a situation are totally down. And I'm like, you know, there's the bins and we're scooping food out of the bins. Mm-hmm. So it's like, oh, calamari.
Boom, oh, no.
Boom, boom. I think you know where I'm going with this, right?
Yeah, I know exactly.
I thought I had loaded up my plate with calamari. Yeah. And in actual fact, it was tripe.
Oh, no.
Also known as tripa.
Yeah.
Now, if you're not familiar with tripe, it's because it's not good. It's actually pig intestines.
Yes, it
that
is.
That they cut up.
Yes.
And it's actually worse than it sounds.
Yeah. And it's worse than it sounds.
And so I thought I was putting calamari into my mouth when in actual fact I was loading in pig intestines.
Yeah.
And then I had the moment because I'm with the family. What do I do? First of all, I don't want to seem disrespectful.
Yeah.
Second of all, I don't want to spray this.
Yes.
And all over the table like a super soaker.
And this is going to hurt your cred with the Italians if you're suddenly
you want to suck it up a little bit.
If you're suddenly you know, spitting out the tripe, you want to be hardcore and you know, be like, "Oh yeah, tripe. I love this simple peasant food."
So I did the only thing I could do, Matt.
What you do, Bob?
Slow chew. Slow chew.
Oh.
One more. Swallow it down.
Yeah.
And just the whole time, think of England.
Yep, the whole time, yes. It's a good reference. Yeah, that would be... Yeah. See, the problem is, tripe is bad, but when you don't realize it till it's too late, it makes it worse. Because suddenly, your whole worldview of what you are consuming changes that quickly.
So that was mine. How about you?
Bob, this is a tale of horror and woe. There I was at the Trump Hotel, and the only time I went there.
Really?
Yeah.
And were you staying there?
No.
Just to visit?
This is years ago, before I got into politics. Like, the Trump Hotel, there was like a bar high up. It's like, ooh, who doesn't like a bar high up with windows overlooking the city? And the glass of wine was $32 for a warm glass of Brunello, and it wasn't good at all. Shame on you, Trump and the Trump Hotel.
I like that story.
Yeah.
Okay, what else do we got?
Well, in honor of talking about wills and stuff, when your time has come and your boots point to the sky, how do you want to be remembered?
Do you want to take this one first?
You know,
who asked that question?
What's that, Buffalo Phil?
It's a little intense, Buffalo Phil.
He also, by the way, here's the greatest thing. He also wrote, "Did you ever play Duck Duck Goose as a kid?" That's a lot of range on these questions,
Phil. All right, I'll dive in with this.
Okay.
No, I never played Duck Duck Goose. Okay, you take the death one.
I did play Duck Duck Goose. In the end, when people bring up your name, within 10 seconds, I want them laughing. That's it. I just want them laughing. They're going to remember a good, fun moment. You know, just a great moment that I shared with whomever is thinking about me. Obviously, you want, hey, good person, good friend, was great with their family and children or whatever. But just have you laughing 10 seconds after thinking about me.
I would like to be remembered. I'm going to two things: as a loyal friend and a hard worker. I think if people remembered me as a guy who took his jobs seriously,
yep,
whatever they may be, right?
Yep.
Like raising a family, trying to make good stuff for people to enjoy in the media. And people who remembered me as a good teammate, mm-hmm, someone who was a good partner, someone who was a good friend, a good husband, you know, loyal and hardworking. And I would be happy. I want to be remembered basically as a dog.
Yeah, that's true.
If I could be remembered, if people, when I die and my boots are pointed towards the sky and people said, you know what, Bob, it's like a dog.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be happy with that.
All right. There you go. We'll do one more because this one's interesting because my answer has actually changed. And I just read this now. When the Raiders move to Vegas, will the NFL just steamroll over the NHL and take over? And maybe it's because they're doing so well now that they are planting seeds. But when you have, because originally I would have said yes. And I always made fun of the NHL. I'm like, enjoy Vegas now, because once the sports Americans care about, everything will change. But Vegas is a different city where it's much more transient. So I think that changes it. But more than that, it's 41 opportunities to entertain. It's 41 times for Vegas to put on a show versus the NFL. It's 8 regular season games and 1 or 2 preseason games. So I think the NFL will become they'll be the number one headline. I think the NHL, they will not bury the NHL.
I think that the NHL will be what it was always going to be, regardless of the NFL. I kind of see them as two separate fan streams.
Yeah.
That it's always going to be niche in the States, the NHL, especially in those southern markets. When they're playing well, they'll get numbers. And if they're not, you know, there'll be that small, dedicated core of people
yeah.
who are season tickets holders. And you know, that just seems to be the NHL in the southern states. What's interesting about the NFL is we assume that there's going to be a market there because it's the NFL.
Yeah.
But I got a friend who's got Rams season tickets, mm-hmm. and they, you know, they sell.
Yeah.
But he says it's not like people talk about it. It's not a big deal. Now, we talked about the NFL in Los Angeles for years, right?
Yeah.
That was the great sort of threat all the owners had, you know, the Cronkies of the world.
Oh, yeah, the worst.
Yeah, we'll pick up and move to L.A.
Yeah, the number one scummy leverage plan that NFL owners did to get the taxpayers to pay for their stadiums.
Right. So we kind of assumed, oh, as soon as it gets there, it's going to be a no-brainer, but not really.
Yep.
That's even less so for the Chargers. So I'm not so sure the NFL is going to be so big in Vegas that it'll be like the Death Star and just eclipse everything else.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Here's the thing. Green Bay, New Orleans, Philly, a lot of these cities, they need their NFL team. L.A. does not need their NFL team, and Vegas doesn't. And the one thing is, in the crappy NHL markets, we're just not doing well. The Carolinas, the Arizonas, the Floridas. They can only do so much for their game ops. They only think so far in terms of what to do to entertain. But in Vegas, they will go a couple steps further because it is in their DNA to find 100 different ways to entertain you, to keep you going.
So that in mind, you know the sport I'd like to see in Vegas that I think could have a chance to really catch on?
Baseball.
Because it's played during the day.
Yeah.
You've been to Vegas lots of times.
Yep.
I've been to Vegas lots of times. Your nights are taken.
Yeah.
Even at 8 o'clock at night, you're generally priming at the restaurant or up in the room showering because you know you're going to be out till 6 in the morning.
Yep.
6 in the morning.
Yep.
But your afternoons are free and nobody knows what to do in the afternoons in Vegas. Do you ever know what to do? I'll get a little bit of food.
Yeah.
Maybe buy some Doritos for the room and a case of water. But generally, they're pretty open.
You're watching Anaconda on TBS.
You know what I'm doing? I'm milling around the sports book.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh, yes. There's a lot of that. I love the idea. There's only one problem, Bob.
What's that?
Every year, hundreds of the fans and a couple of the players will die of dehydration because Vegas, August, afternoon game, and also hungover people that need fluids and don't have any, there will be lots of deaths. I love the idea.
Does anybody need some water in the stands? And about a $15,000 worth of tens start getting waved in the air from the crowd.
Yeah, that is the only problem. But you're right. Like, if there was a way they could do that, I mean, you don't want a dome. Ugh, baseball in a dome.
It's a crazy heat, though. Have you ever been to Vegas in the summer?
Yeah.
It was 104 one time when we were there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, the heat we get here, it's oppressive. The heat they get there, you go, oh, is my life in jeopardy?
Do I need a will from Jeffrey Pollock?
Oh, my God. I don't want to go back there. Nothing against him.
You want it to be funny, and I want it to be loyal.
Yeah, yeah.
That's us in a nutshell, right?
It really is.
You want it to be remembered as fun, and I want it to be remembered as solid.
Solid. Yeah, that is
solid
that is true.
Citizen.
My God. We're both so on brand. It's
I
really
know,
sad.
It's unbelievable. So predictable.
We don't have time for much more.
Oh, okay.
Do you have one final quick sports thing? I can read a statement.
I'd like you to try to read this name again.
No, I don't want to read that name again.
So the new star player for Arsenal, the Gunners.
Yep.
By the way, I found a new blog I'm reading to learn more about it. It's called the Arse Blog. The Brits are funny.
They are. They're great.
Okay.
All right. The newest.
Dealt for Alexis Sanchez as Henrik.
Why can't I say Alexis Sanchez? For Henrik Mkhitaryan.
Mkhitaryan.
I think I got it worse to say. I always add too many syllables.
I think you just get excited and you don't want to leave anything out.
Yeah. My real quick hot take, Bob.
Okay.
Every player in the PGA should throw the Masters and let Tiger Woods win because that would create this tsunami of interest and ratings and ad dollars for the rest of the year and let these guys get the same cut that the PGA golfers got in 2002. So to the PGA players, because Tiger's playing at Torrey Pines, throw the Masters Let Tiger win, and your ratings will go boffo.
I like it. I mean, of course, it's impossible.
Okay, there's that.
But just in principle, could Tiger winning at the Masters, I'm curious to see how people would respond, because we've all become used to the idea he's given us nothing again, right?
Yeah.
If that changed on a dime, would we go right back up to Tiger crazy?
Yes.
It would, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Tiger and LeBron, those are the two in terms of just the biggest individual needle movers, and I don't know who's in third place.
Would it be the same kind of focus? No. Would he be seen as a good guy now?
Yes. You know what he is? He's
A-Rod?
He's the most unlikely David in the David versus Goliath sports narrative. You know, just now, he's a guy that it feels like...
So it's just like Rocky IV then, where he had it all, threw it away, lost the eye of the tiger, although that's kind of more... I guess that'd be more Rocky III.
I'm going to go a different one. You know what he is? And I'm going to get away from sports. He is the famous cat burglar criminal that is in for just one more score. And that's what Tiger is. It feels like he needs one more major to just sort of put a final bow on it, to give a proper goodbye to the golf world, to the golf fans and all that. It feels like that's what he needs.
That's a good one. What's the name of that movie again with Sean Connery and Catherine Zeta-Jones where they play art burglars?
Oh.
Damn it, it's a famous Billy Wilder movie. That's an old movie. It was something like, it sounded like Entourage or Subterfuge or Sabotage or
yes.
Something. Look it up before we go. Because now I'm in I Gotta Know.
Yeah.
And it was a little creepy, right? Because she was young and he was kind of over the hill.
Bob, don't tell me that Hollywood does it where there is an age gap between the male and the female lead. Classic liberal. Let's see. Actually, I don't remember why I'm classic liberal because Hollywood is classically liberal. All right, here. Sean Connery. We are ending this podcast on a hot streak here as I'm on Sean Connery's IMDb. Entrapment.
Entrapment. That was it. Not Entourage or Subterfuge.
No, but Entourage. Right.
Close, right?
That was actually very close. So, yes. An insurance agent is sent by employer to track down and help capture an art thief. Sean Connery, by the way, he was born in 1930. While Catherine Zeta-Jones was, of course, born in 1969. So a 40-year difference. Bravo, Hollywood.
Bravo.
Final story on those times you're trying to explain to somebody and you can't get the right word, but you're close and you're in the right ballpark. My wife and I were in L.A., and you know, you're always doing the celebrity sighting. And she goes, oh, you know who I saw? You won't believe it. I'm like, who? She goes, Spade. I'm like, David Spade. She goes, no.
What's Spade?
She goes, oh, Spader. And I'm like, James Spader. She goes, no.
Which one?
Right. So I'm like, honey, what are you talking about? She goes, what's his name? I'm like, I don't know, honey, because Spade, like, this seems pretty clear to me. And then finally she just looks at me and she looks like she's squinting into the, like she's staring into the sun.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, Christian Slater. She goes, right. So Spade and Spader were the wrong clues.
Yeah.
But wincing like you were in pain.
That is a sign of a good marriage. You guys figure that out together. You are on the same page.
That's true. It doesn't happen always, but...
We got to go, Bob. Enjoy the weekend.
I'm sorry we didn't get
to the Pro Bowl preview we were going to do for 30 minutes. We'll do a 40-minute review of the Pro Bowl and the NHL All-Star Game. Bob, have a great weekend. I'll see you soon.
Thanks for listening to the Macko and Cause podcast. Remember to subscribe on iTunes or Audioboom. And if you like the podcast, leave a review. If you don't like the podcast, then maybe... Don't leave a review.